A surge in retail sales.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, welcome to the Morning Open. I'm Bill Radke. Consumers ramped up their spending in March. We got that news this morning, along with a new look at inflation. But before we go there, the trading day is new. Where's Wall Street? Leaving 11,000 in the dust, the Dow is up 47 points now at 11,066. The NASDAQ up 0.9%. S&P 500 up 0.5%. J.P. Morgan Chase is up more than 3%. The big banks said profits rose 55% last quarter to $3.3 billion. Now, a lot of that was from trading. The bank still lost money on its consumer loans. Intel also more than 3% higher. First quarter profits there nearly quadrupled from last year. And the chip maker expects to hire 1,000 people this year. European and Asian stocks also higher today. As I said, retail sales better than expected in March. Consumer prices barely budged. And we're joined by Chief Economist David Weiss at S&P. He's with us live from New York. Hi, David.
Hi.
So consumers spending, inflation silent. What does all this mean?
Well, proves it's hard to keep Americans away from the shopping mall. Basically, I think we got locked in January and February by the weather, and we made up for it in March. So very strong numbers. The consumer just is not being as cautious as we feared he would be.
So against that backdrop, David, the Federal Reserve chairman speaks to Congress this morning. So if consumers are buying again, is it time to talk about a rise in interest rates?
It's premature to actually raise rates. People are obviously talking about it already, and the Fed's talking about it already. I think the first job for the Fed, though, is to get out of all these special programs it was in, make sure that goes smoothly. I do think they'll probably raise rates by year end.
So we get that magical language from the Fed about extended period. I mean, do you think Bernanke will say something new this morning about rates?
I doubt it highly. I think he'll keep the same language, but the extended period is not going to be as extended as we thought it was going to be.
Okay, some nice news this morning, and a nice visit from economist David Weiss at S&P. Thank you.
Thank you.
President Obama sits down in the next hour with Republican and Democratic leaders. The topic, the financial regulatory reform bill going through the Senate. The White House needs the support of at least one Republican senator, as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell will be one of the attendees at this morning's meeting with the president, but he's already told his caucus to vote against the bill.
And this bill, make no mistake about it, is a permanent taxpayer bailout of Wall Street banks. That is not what the American people have in mind.
The White House disputes that claim, saying if you look at the provisions in the bill for dealing with a failing financial institution, it's just not accurate. But that's only one of the aspects of the bill Republicans have criticized. Michael Ettlinger is vice president for economic policy at the Center for American Progress, a liberal think tank. He says President Obama will use this morning's meeting to deliver a clear message.
Perhaps more subtly worded than this, but the message would be that it would be insane after what this country's been through for Congress to end without passing meaningful reform.
Democrats hope to pass the bill by summer. Ettlinger predicts it will eventually gain substantial Republican support. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, April 14th at Marketplace.org. It looks like Democrats in Congress will introduce a bill to make companies and unions tell us when they give money for political advertising. This is a response to that Supreme Court ruling in January that the government cannot restrict those contributions. We get the story from Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
The Supreme Court's ruling isn't likely to be overturned, so campaign finance reformers are left pushing for more disclosure of who's giving how much to which candidate.
Nobody can tell me that our founding fathers were sitting around a table saying that money was to be considered under the freedom of speech provisions of the Constitution.
Common Cause's Bob Edgar says contributors should be a visible presence in campaign ads, and that could end up in the legislation.
So I want them to come on and have their face and voice on the television ads.
But Brad Smith with the Center for Competitive Politics is skeptical about on-screen endorsements.
What would be gained by that? If we went out and did a survey, I don't think you could find probably 10% of Americans that could name more than two corporate CEOs and actually attach them to the corporation.
The upcoming legislation is expected to set out how groups sponsoring political ads will disclose their donors. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Last year, more than 2 million Americans paid their income taxes with their credit cards. This year, American Express customers have a new option. They can use their rewards points. Marketplace's Bob Moon says that might not be such a wise move.
Use them to pay your taxes, and your points won't buy as much as they usually do when you redeem them for, say, a plane ticket. In fact, there's a good chance you'll lack the points you need to cover all your taxes. Kay Bell is contributing tax editor for Bankrate.com.
To pay off $5,000 in taxes, an American Express Rewards account holder would essentially have to charge close to $1 million to be able to get that many points to redeem.
Bill Hartikopf, who heads LowCards.com, says the real point is encouraging you to charge at least part of the tax bill. He says card companies know you'll be on the hook for possible penalties and or their high interest rates.
Issuers want to encourage that, and that's why we see a number of commercials that almost invite you to put it on your credit card.
He cautions that maxing out your account limit can end up hurting your credit rating.
If you do charge a significant amount of your income tax to your credit card, you do stand the risk of seeing a decrease in your credit score.
The experts say there are usually better alternatives to cover your tax payment: borrowing from a family member, a lower interest personal loan from a bank, or requesting a cheaper installment plan from the IRS itself. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Last week, Irish airline Ryanair said it wanted to rip out two of the three toilets on some planes to add capacity. This week, Ryanair's colorful CEO, Michael O'Leary, said that plan might not fly after all due to his plane supplier's safety concerns. But as Brett Neely tells us, the message in the story may be more about penny pinching than safety.
Right now, Ryanair planes carry a maximum of 189 passengers. That's all the Federal Aviation Administration allows. Adding more seats could slow down evacuating passengers in an emergency, so it might not be allowed. But O'Leary suggested Boeing, which supplies Ryanair's entire fleet, isn't being helpful enough. Last year, Ryanair backed out of buying more 737s because Boeing wouldn't cut its prices.
Now I think Boeing is probably understandably reluctant to going along so that Ryanair can have additional seats to sell.
That's Richard Abulafia, aviation analyst at the Thiel Group. He says O'Leary is desperate to show that the company is all about nickel and diming to lower ticket prices. But he says O'Leary is also brilliant at making outrageous proposals, like pay toilets and standing room only seats.
I think Ryanair has found a fantastic way of generating publicity.
Boeing wouldn't comment on the record. And I couldn't leave a message at Ryanair's Dublin headquarters because there was no voicemail. Maybe they're skimping on that, too. I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
U.S. Airlines got some good news this week. A study of the complaints lodged with the Transportation Department seems to show passengers have gotten more satisfied with air travel. Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus, you look skeptical. What's wrong?
Well, Bill, far be it from me to pour cold water all over the airlines. Maybe they're stepping up their game with a renewed commitment to high performance and customer satisfaction. But I don't know. I talked to the authors of this new report, and I noted to them, I said, wait a minute, you're basing it all on complaints to the Department of Transportation. Well, what if we're just complaining less because we're just so used to the idea that we're going to be miserable every time we set foot in the airport?
We're just beat down. David, here is a complaint that did increase. Involuntary denied boardings?
Meaning you're getting bumped. These guys are essentially selling more of a product than they have on the shelf. In other words, seats on the plane. Any other business that tried to pull something like that, we'd call it fraud. Now, it turns out as long as the airlines say up front that they might pull some shenanigans like this, that's okay. And apparently federal authorities say okay by us too. But even so, I think when they sell people a ticket, you sell people a ticket. And if that guy doesn't show up, then he's out the hundreds or the thousands of dollars he spent. Nobody else should be inconvenienced.
My shuttle doesn't show up and I'm out $800, David?
Well, there it is. But, you know, the idea that you're going to sell an extra 10 seats or 20 seats per flight and then kind of roll the dice, all you're doing if you're an airline is offloading your risk to the passengers who did have the wherewithal to show up. Outsourcing risk like that doesn't strike me as particularly fair.
You just did some air travel. How can we make our trips a little happier?
First of all, board the back of the plane first. What, are you kidding me? All these people who get on and try and load these wheelie devices into the overhead bins. I mean, come on. Second, wheelie devices. What's the deal? Let's just stop it with this. I say carry-on bags are carry-on bags. Backpacks, shoulder bags, whatever. Check all the rest. And finally, cashless airlines. Oh, come on. Paying $3 for a cookie with your credit card. How about if we just sell vouchers at the gate and you can get it on the flight after buying the voucher?
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus. Some good ideas in there, David. Thank you.
Come fly with me.
Now, as for the fees airlines are charging for extra luggage, remember, you wouldn't need that big suitcase full of clothes if you were traveling to a nudist resort. There are clothing optional travel companies, and they are reminding consumers of the convenience of a naked vacation, or as they call it, a nakation. Because let's face it, once we walk into that airport security screening machine, we're all nudists anyway. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. We hope to see you online. Catch up on the news and watch videos that'll make you smarter about the economy at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.